Well, good morning. It's good to see you. I hope you had a great Christmas. We had a great Christmas at our house. I actually got to see some family I hadn't seen in years, and they came over, and so that was a really nice time for us and our family. But like Tyler said, had a change of plans. Pastor Billy was supposed to be here this morning, and a couple days before Christmas, let us know that he has to go into quarantine. So that's where he is. And last time we were in this situation, he put my number on the screen because he did it for me and told everyone to call me and text me. I'm not going to do that to him this week, only because I didn't have time because it's so last minute to put a number up on the screen. But at the same time, you know, I was thinking about this week, and as I was getting ready, I don't know how it popped to my head, but this is this new thing, and it wasn't what my plan, but the Grand Canyon came to mind. And it's like, it's just like going into the Grand Canyon. You know what I'm saying? It just seems a little big and overwhelming, but we know God's going to show up. Amen? Right? But I went good. All right. I'm glad you guys were at church the last couple weeks. All right. All right. But as we get going this morning, we're going to continue in our series. Billy was going to cover John chapter 6. What we're going to do is I'm going to take a section of John chapter 6. And then at the end of the series, we're going to come back to it and hit the second half of it. So if you want to turn with me to John chapter 6 this morning, I'm going to be in the CSB. I don't have any slides this week. And so if you you can definitely need your Bible or need your phone to follow along with us. If you're at home with us, grab your Bible, grab your electronic device, wherever it is. John chapter 6, like I said, in the CSB. Because I'm excited because every week as we come into this series, we're being called to see more of Jesus. This is what John wants us to do. He wants us to see just a little bit more of Jesus. And as we see more of Jesus, he wants to help us see more so we believe more. We want to see more of Jesus so that we believe more about Jesus. And that's what my prayer is that we're going to see happen this morning. Because as we come to John chapter 6, what we're going to do is we're going to see that God is on the move. He's been working through Jesus. In fact, Jesus has been working and doing, as we saw last week, as Parker talked about, working at doing exactly what he sees the Father has sent him to do, looking to see exactly what the Father is doing and joining with him. So the very beginning of John chapter 6, at the very beginning, we start with verse 1 through 3, and we get this little summary. John says, after this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, and a huge crowd following him, because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. And Jesus went up a mountain, and he sat down there with his disciples. And I want you to see the phrasing here. Look at this in verse 2. In fact, even before verse 2, maybe in your headers, you might have a header, something that speaks of the fact this is maybe the fourth sign that we see in John. Some of your Bibles might have that. Because what we saw that Jesus was doing signs, he was showing us who he was. He wanted those that were watching him to see that who he was sent from God. That as he talked about last week, that him and the Father are one, and that God was on the move, and that you could see it by seeing Jesus. And he wanted to draw people to him. And so he was doing these signs, and it takes us back to, again, we've come back to this several times in our series in John so far, to the end of the book, John chapter 20, when John's writing, and he's telling us why he wrote this. This is what he says. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in his book, but the ones that are in here, this is written for us so that we may believe. There it is. We may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, we may have life in his name. So that's what we want to keep doing this morning. And that's what we see that Jesus was doing. We're going to see another sign showing them more evidence to see he is who he says he is so that they may believe. And in believing, they may have life. And so we're going to come to John chapter 6. And this is a story that many of us are probably familiar with. I was thinking about this morning how John's got a lot of those classic Jesus stories. Like this story is one that I remember reading about and hearing about in Sunday school over and over again growing up. It's one that like you watch the Jesus films, it shows up in all the Jesus films because it's just an incredible story that we want to see. And the fact is, when we come to a story like this that we know so well, it's really easy to just like read it. You ever been there? Like, you come to a story you just know so well, and you kind of read it, and it's like, oh, I know this, or maybe I know what I'm supposed to take away. But as we come to these stories, especially ones that are so familiar for us, I think it's good to ask the question. This morning, let's ask the question, what does this tell us about Jesus? What is it telling us about Jesus? What does it tell us about the heart of God? What does it tell us about how God moves or wants to move in our lives? And then how, as we see the story, is God inviting us, even this morning, in our lives to respond to him. So instead of reading through the whole story this morning, because I know we got some kids in here, I know we have families that are watching this online, so instead of reading through the story real quick, I thought there may be a little fun way to introduce the story, and instead just watch this video as we read. This is John chapter 6, this is kind of a telling of verses 4 through 12. Let's look at this.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is Jesus.
Hey-o!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love. He did many miracles and healed people of their sickness.
Oh, hey, everyone!
A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. A crowd started to gather around Jesus. There were 5,000 men and many more women and children. Turning to Philip, he asked,
Hey, Philip!
Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? You see, Jesus was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them.
Hey, I got an idea.
Then Andrew spoke up, There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Jesus said, Tell everyone to sit down.
Right, everyone, sit down.
Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and gave them to the people.
Here you go.
Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted.
Want some more?
I'm all good, thanks.
After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, Now gather the leftovers, so that nothing is wasted.
You got it.
So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps, left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish.
I think it worked. I looked out and all the kids' heads were popping right back up. So that's what I was hoping to see. It's a great way of telling the story. I loved it when I was able to come across this. And so now we're just going to walk through the story and see all the, again, asking those questions. What does Jesus want us to see about him? What does Jesus want us to see about how he wants to work in our lives? What do we want to see about what God is calling us to, how to respond to him this morning? So if you begin in verse 4, it says this. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and he noticed the huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, So where will we buy bread so these people can eat? And then look at verse 6. He asked them to test them, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And there's so much just in these few verses right here. And the first thing that I see, that we see about who Jesus is, nothing surprises him. Nothing surprises Jesus. He knew what was going on. He knew what was happening. He knew what was about to happen. So do you believe this? Like, this is the first question I think it's good to ask. Do we really believe that nothing can surprise God? Because if we believe that, or whether we believe it or not, that will determine when we encounter problems, situations, the things we did not expect, the things we weren't planning for, even the pain and the hardships that hit life, when those come at us, what we believe about Jesus will directly impact how we respond in those situations. We believe that nothing surprises Jesus, that he is not surprised. And so when something happens, we can then come back and say, all right, I didn't know, but God does. And that means God's on the move because he knew. And that God's in the middle of doing something because he knew. And so Jesus puts it to his disciples, to Philip, and he says, all right, we got a problem. How are we going to respond to this? What's next? What are we going to do? And this really interesting thing he says here, he asked them to test them. So what's he want to test them about? Test them about what? And I think the first thing that he wants that he wants to see if they're with him on this is, do they see what he sees? Do you look around as you see all these crowds of people, which can be so overwhelming? How do you see them? Do you see them the way Jesus sees them? Do you see their needs? Do you see that they're here because they're not, they're spiritually hungry, they're longing, they're searching, there's something they wanted. It can seem like this huge crowd just keeps following us around, but there's something for us to see. In another telling of the story, in Mark chapter 6, the way he words it here is it says that Jesus had compassion on them because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so I think a question for us, as we first look at this, I think Jesus was looking at is, are we wanting to see them as Jesus saw them, as he has compassion? Do we have compassion? When we see those around us that are struggling and in tough times, when we see people that are going through pain, what's our response to them? Because the reality is, especially when there are people in our lives and they're going through tough things, that can be pretty overwhelming for us. That can be really hard. And so we choose how we respond. Is it annoying? Or do we just say to them, hey, just, you know what, just suck it up? Or do we just like throw some Christianese at them and just say, you just need to have a little bit more faith? Or do we first respond when we see what might be overwhelming with compassion, as Jesus did? And I think he was testing them to see whether he would have compassion for them. And so that's our first question. But next, I think he's also testing them. Do you believe what we said earlier? Do we believe that nothing is surprising Jesus? As the situation comes at us, do you believe that God has a plan in all of this? Again, look what he says in verse 6. Even as he asked them, and he says, all right, we have this problem ahead of us. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond to it? It says he asked them to test them because what? Because he already knew what he was going to do. Jesus completely knew what was going on. Nothing surprised him, and he had a plan. And I love this. This is something that I love, that I go back to so many times in my own relationship with Jesus. So many times I want to keep going back and saying, but you know what? God has a plan. And not in some like quick, easy, cliche answer, because that plan doesn't say I'm not struggling. That plan doesn't say it's still not hard. And the plan doesn't mean I just need to sit back and just wait and hopefully all this will go away and it'll be much better. But it allows us to see Jesus for who he is. That he is always working, that he is on the move, that he's about doing what he needs to do for his glory. He's about doing what he needs to do for our good, because he is about moving his kingdom. And if we're with Jesus, we're with that movement. We're with him. We're moving with him for the sake of his kingdom and for his glory. And so I want to ask you, do you believe this about Jesus? When you hit those tough times, do you believe that he already knows, he's already moving? That nothing's taken Jesus by surprise, but he has got a plan. And so Jesus presented this question to them to test them, and now we look and see how they respond. Look at verses 7 and 8. So Philip answered him, and he said, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have just a little. So one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? And when I read the response, I see that they missed it. They missed what Jesus wanted them to see in this test. Because think of it, they had seen Jesus do so much already. I mean, they had been walking with him. Even if everyone else hadn't seen it all yet, they knew who Jesus was. They were starting to understand, and they were seeing his power. And so here it is, another problem in front of them. And when you think about the other situations, like someone, a girl that has died, and then they saw him come back to life. You think about the other situations, this is nothing. And so even Jesus asked, what do we do? They kind of have 2 options. And what they did is they missed remembering who Jesus is. Instead of saying, I don't know Jesus, but I know you're here, so this is good. What are you going to do? Like, I know you got this, Jesus. So the only thing I know to do, because I don't want to fix this, is say, Jesus, do a great work. But instead, they take a different approach. Here's all the reasons why there's nothing we can do. Here's all the problems. But what's also so beautiful in the story, even as they're articulating, oh man, we can't do this, we don't have enough money, we couldn't even just do a little with this, and yeah, there's this, like this thing over here, Jesus, but what are we gonna do with this? Like, it's just like, it's a couple, some bread, some fish, like, and you see all the people that were here, how are we supposed to do anything with that? And in a sense, I think of the phrase we saw Jesus use many times, you have so little faith. And yet there is something to me encouraging in their response. And I want us to hear this. Because their lack of faith, they're missing what God wanted them to see in this moment. Even them missing all the things they'd seen Jesus do before did not stop Jesus from doing what he was going to do. Sometimes I think we get this place and we just get this spiral in our own lives where we're struggling with faith and we're struggling to believe and we're discouraged and we're down and we just see the overwhelming things in front of us. Like the disciples were, and even Jesus might say, all right, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? And we're like, what do you mean what am I going to do? Don't you see this? Don't you see this? Don't you see this? And, you know, in our heads, we might know this is the wrong response, or maybe we're just so broken, we're struggling with pain in this moment. But you know what? And we see in the story, even as they respond with all the negativity of what's going on around them, even with Jesus right in front of them, even without coming and saying, and Jesus, but we trust you to do this, which wasn't the response, Jesus has compassion. I think he had compassion on them. Just like I think he has compassion on us in our own weaknesses. When we maybe even have a test in front of us like this, and the situation is not how we expect, we're struggling to trust, we believe. But you know what? We may be struggling, but Jesus isn't. Jesus isn't slowing down. He isn't like, oh man, now I don't know what to do. We struggle. But it doesn't stop God from moving in our lives. And I think that's an important truth we need to hear this morning. When we are at our worst and our weakness, or we're missing it, and it should seem so obvious to us, God is not there going like, oh my goodness, okay, that's it. He's meeting us where we're at, and that's what we see that he does next. So now Jesus says, I have a plan. Let me show you what that is. Look at verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered 5,000, so there's even more than that all around his fields. And then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, so much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over from those who had eaten. You know what's amazing about the story? Think about this. God didn't just meet the need. He like blew it out of the water. He didn't just make sure everyone had just enough to live. He didn't make sure they had just enough to eat at that moment. He multiplied and did such an incredible thing that there was leftovers beyond what anything they had started with. This is who Jesus is. When he shows up, he's about showing us who he is, showing us his glory, showing us his power. And so when he does, when he acts and he moves, guys, he's not just acting and moving for us, though he loves us and he has compassion on us. He's acting and moving for his glory. So he's like, look and see what I can do. Like, it was undeniable, a miracle occurred. People weren't just fed, but there was evidence of what happened because of everything being left over. We're like, didn't we like start with this and look at this pile? It was so clear because that's what Jesus does. Because again, it's about him. Because he wants us to see he is so much bigger than our pain. He is so much bigger than that problem that just seems to be staring us right in the face right now. He is so much bigger than however overwhelmed we feel. He says, I got this, and I got this bigger, and I've got this more than what you may even pray to ask for. Who would have said in that situation, Lord, please not only provide food, but provide lots of leftovers? Like, he's going more into this. And he's saying, "Let look and see, because it's all about me. Nothing surprises me. I'm on the move. I am working," Jesus says. And then he steps back, and it's the whole point of John. He says, so believe. So believe. We see this incredible sign and this incredible miracle that Jesus does. And yet, after such an amazing thing, for the disciples especially to be a part of, because, hey man, the guy in the back row of the 5,000, he may have had no clue what was going on, right? I mean, this is 5,000 people. These are going on for long ways in these clumps of people. Not everyone probably even knew all. Somebody brought them food. Well, that's nice. Thank you. John wrote it down. The disciples saw it, and they saw this incredible miracle, this sign that Jesus performed. That's what it says. It says they saw the sign, and the people saw the sign. and they saw who Jesus was. They didn't see completely yet, but they started to see who Jesus was. But the disciples, they got to see it firsthand. And so just like us, we get to see God do firsthand things. We read about his word, but they move on. And then it says, look what it says in verse 16. So they're leaving this scenario. They just see God do this incredible thing. And it says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and they got into a boat and they started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. A high wind arose and the sea began to churn. And after they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming in the boat and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him on the board, and at once the boat was at the shore where they were heading. You know, guys, I resonate with this right here, because it's really easy to see God do amazing things. Because I've seen God do so many amazing things. I was playing a song this morning on a drive-in that's a song for me. That's a reminder of the miracles I've seen God do. The song "Do It Again" by Elevation. And I will go to that song because it's this reminder that's out there. When I might be struggling, when I may be struggling with my own faith, it's a reminder. Because it's so easy to forget. The disciples just saw God do this incredible thing, and now they're in the boat, and the waves are going. The sea is turning. Things are getting chaotic, maybe even dangerous. There's maybe the storm happening around them. And then, in the middle of all of this, they're afraid again. They're afraid. And what's their response? Well, it's first fear. But then Jesus shows up again. Shows up again. Says, "Can I come in? I got this again. Can I do this?" And that's just beautiful. I think John tells us, he's got to be like, can you imagine like John, he's thinking back to this? Because he's lived this, right? Like, this is his story too, that he got to experience with Jesus. And I bet he's sitting there going like, "Oh my goodness. I was so dumb. I just saw Jesus do this amazing thing, and here I am in the boat, and I'm like freaking out again. The problem's there again, and I forget what Jesus has done. And I get distracted by the thing right in front of me, and this is all I can see. And we forget to step back and see Jesus." Because when we see Jesus, when Jesus shows up, we remember what he has done, it changes us. You know, sometimes even though we remember that story, we forget the key thing. We may have seen God do this miracle, and we're like, "Yeah, I believe God can do miracles, but don't you understand? I'm in a terrible situation, and it's not better yet." And then we remember, we need to remember, "Yeah, but Jesus knew this was coming already." Remember that? We start at the beginning with Jesus. We start at the beginning that nothing surprises Jesus. We said, just like that situation where we saw God show up and we saw God work, is no different than this one. Because of the same Jesus that was in the middle of this is in the middle of right now. He's here. Do we see him? Do we remember? And does it remind us and encourage us to believe that the same God that was at work is still work right now? And even though I haven't seen the miracle yet, or I haven't seen that healing, or I haven't seen what God's going to do come about yet to understand this more, I may not get it, but I know that Jesus is not surprised. And I know he has a plan. And even though he's not letting me in on it quite yet, I know that he is working and he is moving. So we have to keep coming back to the truth. Come back to Jesus. Church, our first response, this is what I think he was testing the disciples for. Are you just going to come to me? Come to Jesus. Guys, I know I'm terrible at this. I'm like, I see the problems. And although I don't often get too overwhelmed initially, I kind of look at it and I'm like, all right, well, I got to fix this. You know what I'm saying? Like, even before I go to Jesus, I go to David. Doesn't usually work, but I keep going back there. I go to David. And I forget Jesus. Like, I know, but I forget. I remember, but I miss it. And guys, I just share that to say, like, we're all like the disciples. And we have to remember that there is no problem. There is no storm. There is no situation that Jesus is already not completely in the middle of. There is nothing that he is not already working in. And if there's one question we start with asking, do we truly believe this morning? Do you believe that about Jesus? Because as we look at the story and we look at the other stories in John, and we just look at these two, the storm and the thousand, even Jesus coming out and walking on the water. The point of all these miracles is this is absolutely impossible for me. So why do I even try? But it's not for Jesus. So why don't I run to him? I am completely overwhelmed. Jesus isn't. Why don't I run to him? And the truth is, church, we've all been, I have been in the same spot as the crowds. And I've been in the same spot as the disciples. We have been in that place where we need Jesus to show up. We need his compassion. Church, don't forget his compassion. Don't forget it. He was reminding me of that this morning. Don't forget my compassion. Hey, this isn't how I had planned things to go this week for me. But God's compassion says even when David's not quite there yet, he's going to show up and do his thing. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and what Jesus wants to do. We've been in this place in our brokenness, even in our sin, in our pain. And then Jesus comes to us and he invites us. And yeah, he even tests us. I think like he did the disciples, and he might say to even us this morning, all right, listen, you've seen me move before. Just stop there. Think about it for a moment. Where have you seen Jesus move already in your life? Where have you seen his miracles? Where have you seen Jesus do what only Jesus can do? And so I say, as we come into this, whatever moment you're in right now or whatever moment might be coming, will we respond in faith and say, yeah, I believe. I believe Jesus knows and he has a plan. And would we be willing to see, even in our brokenness, instead of going to this place of self-condemnation, which we so often go to in our own lives, instead of going to that is remember that also Jesus has compassion. You know, it is okay to say, Jesus, I am struggling. Have mercy. Have compassion. The Psalms are echoed with those cries. Have mercy on me. We see them in the Gospels where people cry out, have mercy on me, Jesus. It's okay to realize I am so broken and I don't even know if I have enough faith and I don't even know if I can do this, but to remember his beautiful compassion for us. And then when we remember his compassion, to even when we're not in the middle of the storm, but we see others, to start with compassion. It's what he wants his disciples to see. It's what he wants us to see. We want to be like Jesus. And it will help us remember more of the things he has done when we are willing to also give it to others. We'll remember. So come back to those key questions this morning. What is the story that we're so familiar with? What does it tell us about Jesus? What does it tell me about the heart of God? He's so compassionate that even though he's done so many things in my life, when I just find myself like the disciples, just in that same place of missing it, he's still going to work. What does it tell me about how he moves? That he was already moving before I ever saw there was a problem. He was already working. Why would I ever think Jesus is surprised like I am? And how do we see him inviting us to respond? He's inviting us to believe. And what we see he has done, to believe in what he's going to do. Church, would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? And I want to just invite us. We have a few moments here this morning. So whether you're in this room right here, whether you're home watching online, I know it's easy to disconnect. But I want to invite you to stay with us. Those in our mass venue, stay with us right now. And let's come before God in these moments. Bring our head down and let's get real with God. So I think there's two places we can be this morning. Maybe this morning you're like the crowds. And maybe you're just seeking. You're following him. You've heard about what Jesus has done. You've seen people, you've heard people talk about it, you maybe even seen that God has been at work in your life. But the truth is, you haven't decided whether you're really ready to believe. But I want to tell you this morning, it's time to believe. And when I say believe, I don't mean just like accept these truths that Jesus is who he says he is, but as you see who Jesus is, believe in a way that brings us to where our lives say, not only do I believe, but I surrender, Jesus. I give my life to you. I see my brokenness, I see my sin, I see my struggle to believe, I see my struggle with faith. I know my sin has separated me from God, but I know that Jesus has come to reconcile me with God. And the ultimate sign that Jesus already spoke of early on in the book of John is the sign we come to when we come to surrender. That Jesus, who was nailed to the cross, he took our sins, his blood was shed, and he died. A lot of people have died. But then he came and he rose again. He absolutely defeated death. This is the ultimate sign. As Jesus rose again and he came back, he says, I had defeated death. So whoever calls on his name, whoever believes and says, you are who you say you are, Jesus, and I surrender my life to you, we also experience his victory as death and sin no longer have power. But we have life in Jesus. Maybe you just need to be reminded of that. If it's your first time, say yes to Jesus. But if you're a believer, maybe you just need to remember that Jesus has already conquered. He has already won. What else is there that Jesus cannot do? Maybe you're like the disciples. You know Jesus. You've seen the things he's done. But maybe there's a problem right in front of you right now that just seems so big, but you haven't run to Jesus. You're struggling to believe. You know you should, but you're struggling. And I want to invite you this morning, just in a quiet moment, just in just a moment, to just come to Jesus. And maybe you can be like just the disciples and just say, all right, here's the problem. Here's all the problems, but Jesus, now I just say it's in your hands. What do you want to do? The storm may be going hard. You may be afraid. But remember that Jesus comes with compassion. He comes to meet us this morning in his compassion, his mercy, because it is new every morning. Because even when we are unfaithful, God says he will always be faithful. So as your head bowed, just for a moment, whatever that place is, go to Jesus right now. Maybe confess that place. You might say, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Maybe you just need to ask Jesus to give you compassion because you're not in that place, but you know someone who is and you're struggling, giving that compassion to them. Such a simple story, but yet it is so powerful when we look and we see Jesus, what he was doing and what he wants to do in us. Father God, I thank you so much that you sent your son. We just celebrated it. We celebrate that you sent Jesus into the world, that he left his glory and the comforts of heaven and came down and he came to meet us. And compassion and mercy and love beyond anything that I know I could ever comprehend, but that's what you do. So Lord, right now we come, even with, and maybe beginning to say, thank you, Jesus, for coming, for living, showing us these signs, allowing us to see what you have done, knowing you're still working our lives today. Thank you for dying, Jesus, and the great miracle of your resurrection that for any of us who surrender our life to Jesus, we get to have. Thank you, Jesus. So Lord, come and continue to move this morning as we seek you. Lord, continue to move as we pray. Continue to move as we worship. Because you are an amazing God, and we want to meet with you. Thank you that you've come to meet with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. My wife and I are going to be back in the prayer corner. If anybody would like to pray God's work, and let's just continue to worship and pray and meet with God today.